EdTech blogs are dying.
What's going on here?
But Patrick and Omar are here to breathe new life into tech in the classroom.
Oh, that's too fantastic.
With their edgy...
I'm experiencing a sensation altogether new to me.
Informative...
I'll explain it so even you can understand it.
And fun blog...
What is this, some kind of a game?
IT Babble. This is the IT Babble Podcast.
All right, so I'm Patrick.
And I'm Omar.
Man, we are happy to be here on Wednesday, December 7th, talking to you folks.
Oh, yeah.
Man, good. That was enthusiasm.
Yeah, I'm tired.
So I'm a little tired too. It's the mad rush to the winter break, and we got one more week to go, and it's kind of wearing us down. So yeah, what? Say what? Anyway, so this week we're going to be talking about Haul.com, bad reasons for blogging, your journey in creating your first app for a device. Well done.
Yeah.
GradeQuick's deadline. More about that. Winter movies I would like to show to my students, but I can't.
Nice.
And an educational iPhone and Android apps reviews are going to be coming back. They're going to be starting up again in December.
Yeah.
So, but let's get started with our good friend Tony, who again wrote another awesome post this week about managing a school's responsibility of managing e-waste, because I never even thought about it, because we're just such consumers.
Yeah, exactly.
We just buy and buy and buy them, but we don't even consider about, like, what do we do with it after at the end of its lifespan, because it's something that has to be, you know, definitely considered about.
Yeah, as an individual, you don't realize the impact, because it takes you something like 5 years to, let's say, go through a PC or a laptop and just be like, okay, I'm done with this now. Even 5 years, I have older laptops sitting around.
Yeah, you do.
But eventually they die, you know, and they need to be thrown away. And
yeah, but you can't throw them away. You shouldn't, at least.
Yeah, you shouldn't. But as an individual, you know, and if you don't have a recycling center nearby, you end up thinking to yourself, well, you know, what's the harm? It's one unit.
Yeah.
But multiply that by 150, let's say, and you have 150 dead laptops, 150 dead monitors, 150 or more.
And some of those screens are actually toxic when they start, when they like explode or get crushed.
Well,
or
there's things like beryllium in there. And,
that's bad stuff to be in a water supply or anything. So, like, if you're in North America, I mean, there are places like Best Buy, they just have bins, and they have places where you go and you can take it. And even Apple, I think you can mail it back to them, and I think they pay for the postage. I'm not sure about that, but I think they do have a recycle program.
No, they're definitely there's a lot of metals in there that are very dangerous. So if you're listening to this, don't eat your computer. You will die.
Yeah, it's not a good thing. Don't eat it. Yeah.
But it's also not good for the environment.
Yeah, but to get like the lowdown and kind of how complicated this is, definitely read Tony's post, because it's broken down perfectly, and it is kind of mind-boggling when you're talking about our school's got over 2,000 students, 200 teachers, and it's like, wow, my gosh, that's a whole lot of equipment that they go through every year that they just replace.
Why don't they just burn it?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. That's what I do with my styrofoam.
Yeah.
Okay. I wrote a review on Haul.com. I saw it on Free Tech for Teachers, and they're talking about collaborating with multiple people in real time, and it's kind of like a back channel chat, but it's like it's been built up, and it's really slick.
We both tried it.
It
looks, for me, I personally just really liked how it looks. It's very appy.
Yeah, everything is on one page. Everything's on one page. And that's something I like about Edmodo, where everything is pretty much launched out of that one.
Yeah.
Everything,
and you don't have to sit there and navigate through convoluted menu.
Yeah, and the conversation, what it is you don't even need to sign up for it. Mm-hmm. You can just say create a haul, and you can start inviting people left and right. You can invite through Facebook, through Twitter, through an email, through links, or you can, you know, and just anybody can join in. And you can have a big list of people, and you can conversation with people. You have a notepad where people can collaborate in real time. Like you and I were both able to type at the same time. To do lists, you can do a ranker and a poll. And boy, it's pretty awesome, actually. It works really well. But there was something I didn't like about it.
Yep, I had an issue with that too. Patrick came to me and told me about it, and we were going to try it out. I had a class, so I waited till the class was done, and I came back and tried to type something out on the board and or the notepad.
Yeah.
And it refused me.
Yeah,
I thought you blocked me.
No, it was just it kind of times you. If you're idle for, gosh, even at like 10 minutes, it's going to time you out. Now, for me, I was the monitor, or I guess the creator, so I could just refresh and get right back into it. But boy, it was awfully fast to time me out. And another thing I didn't like about it is that there's no way to share files. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want a real collaborative workspace, you're going to want to be able to share files back and forth easily. And this, I mean, it's pretty new, so it's probably something like this is probably in the works, but it's, you know, for a back channel chat, it's actually pretty awesome.
Yeah, you know, it's very slick. It's very, I like how it looks.
Jeez, yeah, very well thought out. Very well thought out, definitely. So, hall.com, that's HALL.com. Check it out. It's definitely worth checking out, you know? You know, you definitely could find a reason for it. And I think it'd be a great place for students to take collaborative notes, you know, would be a good thing.
Well, and you know, like it, to-do lists or polls, if, you know, if there's a big group trying to go somewhere and you want to chat about, let's say, a vacation that a bunch of people are taking together, that's a perfect place for that, too, you know? So, you know, I just strayed away from education. But
that's all right. Yeah, it's got a lot of uses. It definitely wasn't built just for teachers in mind. All right, Omar, got a question for you. What are some terrible reasons to start blogging for EdTech? Some terrible reasons.
Terrible reasons.
Yeah.
To get the girls.
To get the girls. Yes, I agree with you.
Although I have to say, when people found out I was blogging.
Yeah.
And I don't do a lot of it, mind you. So I don't know what you're having to deal with, but I had like 100 girls lined up. And they were just like trying to get my autograph, and so you must be.
Oh yeah.
You must be on the front of People's magazine, something like that.
Yeah, I wrote a post about bad reasons for blogging, and because I've for some reason, I don't know, maybe it's the end of the year, but I've seen quite a few posts of people like, why I blog, and I was like, well, why? Here's why I don't blog. Here are some bad reasons why to blog. So I just thought I had some fun.
Some of those why I blog posts can be so, and this is going to sound bad, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but they're almost like self-righteous, you know?
I care.
Well, yeah, okay, we care, but I mean, come on. This is not a Hallmark card. You can't, everybody can't be writing out Hallmark cards, guys.
No.
That's not how we live.
No.
Okay?
No. Yeah, so I thought it was just kind of something fun. Yeah. And
it's an awesome post.
Yeah, just check it out. Yeah. It's a little fun. But speaking of extracurricular activities, Omar, we blog, and which is an extracurricular activity, but you have a new one that you're at the finish line.
I am at the finish line. Yes.
So tell us about your journey here.
My journey is, ending after probably about 9 weeks. A colleague of mine, who teaches with Patrick in the middle school, Hardy, and I had a challenge to create an app within nine and a half weeks.
Something like that. Yeah.
That was a bad reference to
me. Yeah, that sure was. That's very.
But it is about 9.5 weeks. I can't help it. All right, so I'll say 10 weeks. All
right? There you
just
go.
Just so that I don't have to say think nine. Of Mickey Rourke. but so we had this challenge, and we came up with a bunch of ideas, and just to kind of egg each other on and try to get something developed. And boy, it has been a learning experience.
Yeah.
I haven't been coding this myself, although I do have some coding background, but I was not ready to dive into a whole new programming language. I just don't have time or the energy right now. I have a 3-year-old daughter, and I've got, you know, like basketball coaching. And so I was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to do what a lot of people do, and that's outsource. And Hardy's doing the same thing. And it can be grueling.
You've been putting in some long hours, man.
Long hours because, well, I mean, there are some major lessons learned, and I could sit here and talk about it for hours on end. But in short, make sure if you're doing this, make sure you plan it out to the T.
Yeah.
Make sure everything is covered. Make sure that you've thought it through and you've gone through every iteration if possible, every, you know, possible use or issue that you could come up with, how you want it to look,
yeah,
everything. And then go to your developer and go, get this done for me from the get-go. Because if there's any hint, any question, or any gray area, yeah, some programmers, some developers are really good about going, well, you know what, there's a little gray area here. I'm going to take the initiative and do a good thing. Man. No. Some developers will do the right thing. You know, yeah, Spike, yeah, Lee do the right thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's up with
man,
the movie references.
You
here,
are moving. Yeah, you're all gets, about you, that. You,
anyway, so good developers, which are hard to find.
Yeah.
Will fill in the gaps for you and will contact you and say, okay, look, there's a major gap here. Yeah. Here's what I suggest. I don't know if you've thought about it, but this is my suggestion. So if you're new to it, they'll be like, oh yeah, you know, you'll.
All right, hey, you're the
programmer. Yeah, you're the programmer. Right, I like that idea. And yep. You know, you go with it.
Let's do it.
But then you've got the what I like to call coding monkeys.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now these people know everything. No.
Yeah, they don't. They actually don't know a lot. They know how to, let's say, do one thing, one framework.
Yeah.
They're very single track minded. A lot of them don't have their own devices because you can actually develop an app, you know, code it, and then test it out
with a
on
program,
your computer.
Right?
Yeah,
with the
like
developer's kit.
Yeah, with an emulator. And so you don't actually get to that, you know, that live feel and testing it out on the actual device.
Yeah,
these guys are not going to fill in any gray areas. They're not going to make any decisions. And if they do make decisions, it's usually the wrong decision.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If
you were pulling your hair out about some just obvious mistakes that they made with me.
Yes.
That you showed me.
And those were actually, the sad thing is, those were visual mistakes.
Yeah, they could have seen it was wrong. Yeah.
It's like instead of having, you know, the front of the face, they had the back of the head, you know, and you're like, no.
Yeah.
But it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of hard work, but
let's have a little selfless promotion here. You know?
Okay,
What is it called? Where can they find it?
Well, right now it's on the Android market because it's on all three platforms.
Yes,
iPhone, iPad, and Android. The Android market is a lot easier to get into. They actually don't even review their.
Yeah, that's right. Some people
I had no idea. I was just like, okay, I wonder how long the approval process, bing, it just popped up. And I was like, that's kind of scary. So it popped up there. It's Pimp Santa's Sleigh. So it's a little Christmas theme. And I know I'm kind of cutting it close. It's like December 7th.
Yeah.
And it's a Christmas theme, but I wanted it done, you know, December 1st. But, you know. My developer was just not quite there yet. I have great artists who finished the work for me really quickly, but it's a fun app. It's on the Android market. You can go there and search for Pimp Santa's
Sleigh. Is it, what, like $19.99?
It is for free.
Oh, yes.
Yes, sir. And it will hopefully be added tomorrow to the to iTunes, to the App Store. And...
it's not on the Chrome store.
Well, I don't know if it'll be available on the Chrome store, I'll double check on that. But then, of course, Apple has a review process, a very comprehensive review process. You know, they'll really take a look at it, take a look at the code. But that should take just a couple days, and I'm hoping December 10th latest it'll be on the iTunes store.
Hey.
And
downloading it.
That's a whole 2 weeks. That I have, you know, to
promote.
What a mistake.
That's awesome. That's all right. Like you said, it's a big learning experience, and there will be another more great apps from your company, which is...
For sure.
I don't even know what it's called.
Kimeo Apps.
Kimeo Apps.
Yeah.
I like
Kimeo Apps.
I like it. It's catchy.
It is.
Catchy.
It's very catchy.
All right. Back in the summer, the late summer,
mm-hmm.
I had upgraded to Lion on my Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And our school.
Why would you do that?
Because it was the right decision. I'm standing by it. I'm an early adopter.
I'm a late adopter.
I know. It drives me nuts sometimes. You'd be on Windows 3.1 probably if I didn't. No, that's not true. That was a little low.
I'm on 95. 95 rocks.
Yeah, I'm with, and with 512 RAM, it's so fast.
It is, man.
Anyway, 512, that's probably way and above beyond what it needs. Yeah. Anyway, so I switched to Lion, and our school switched. We had GradeQuick, which was just a program on our server that we ran. But then we moved it to online, so because we couldn't access it from home.
Mm-hmm.
And so people wanted to access it from home, and GradeQuick made a web version called GradeQuick Web.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not compatible with Lion. I'm not going to go into it because it's going to get me angry. And I wrote a rant, and it's been commented on by about 30 times. It's called GradeQuick.
Because that's what everybody says when they think of GradeQuick. And speaking of timing out quickly, Hall.com times out quickly, and GradeQuick Online times out even quicker.
Yeah, pretty quick as well. Anyway, so it didn't run because there was a compatibility, and they blamed Apple, even though that they had ample time to address this issue, I feel. And so they said that they emailed me. When I emailed them, I said, when is a plugin? Because it requires a plugin even though you're on a browser. I don't understand. It's very archaic. And I said, when is this going to be ready? And they said, it's going to be ready December. And here it is. I know it's only December 7th.
Yeah.
But you know what?
It's
not going to be under my tree on December 25th.
No.
That Edline plugin, that GradeQuick plugin is not going to be there because I have no faith in this company.
No.
None at all.
I don't either. I don't think it's ever going to come around.
No. If it does, it'll be so late. It'll be next school year. That's when I honestly.
I think they've just given up on it.
Unbelievable. And so I just thought I would take another shot at this company, at this GradeQuick, and just
I'm going to develop an app for it.
Please do. Please do. So I can download it and then rate it 0. And then write scathing reviews.
It's going to be the smallest iPhone app ever. Gosh. Click here if you hate GradeQuick.
There it is.
And that's it.
And everybody's going to click.
Yes.
Anyway, so that's just GradeQuick's deadline is coming up, and I know they're not going to beat it. I have no faith in this company. So I just thought I'd take that there. So, but it is the winter holiday coming upon us very soon.
Ho, ho, ho.
And a lot of teachers might be reaching for that DVD player, though we don't do that.
No,
we don't.
Of course not. We don't actually.
No, we don't. And I philosophically, I'm like, you can come up with activities or something, but there's no need to pop in a, two-hour movie because you're like, hey, that's an easy way to kill, 2 hours of the day. But if we were going to do that, here are some movies that I would love to show my students, but I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't show them. I can't do it.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay. From, a lot of people don't realize, but Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Yes, it is. It's one of the best ever.
It is the backdrop. He's flying from New York to L.A. to spend Christmas with his separated wife and his children.
Yeah.
And, of course, Detective John McClane gets more than he bargains for.
Yeah.
Yeah. He Hans Gruber ruins his Christmas holiday by taking over the Nakatomi.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember a lot about this. I love this movie.
This is
my all-time action movie for me.
I love Die Hard.
Anyway, yeah, but it's rated R for violence, nudity, F-bombs.
Bad language. Lots of F-bombs.
Yeah, so it's such a great movie, and I wish I could share that with my students, but no, I couldn't. Gremlins is another one.
Bright light.
Gizmo. It is rated PG, but...
You recently, you've seen it.
Yeah.
Fairly recently.
Yeah.
And,
a couple weeks ago. My gosh.
Is it really PG?
No. There was no PG-13 at the time. But, within the first 15 minutes, a guy drops an F-bomb. And you're like, whoa, hey,
Not to mention that it is pretty graphic.
It's got some gross scenes.
PG, there. I'm sitting there going,
Yeah, so Gremlins, I don't think, is PG. Mm-hmm. PG-13, yeah.
Yeah.
Another good one, a great one.
Ugh.
You don't like this movie?
No, I don't like it.
No, what are you talking about there? No. Don't you know?
Yeah.
Fargo. From the Coen brothers.
I hated this movie.
I just don't think my kids would enjoy it.
No.
I think that. And there is some violence and there's some F-bombs.
Is this a Christmas movie?
It takes place during the Christmas time.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. Okay. But it's not a Christmas movie. It's a winter movie kind of thing. And it's really, William H. Macy, I think, does a good job. But my kids, I don't think they would appreciate it. And I know the parents wouldn't appreciate it. There's nudity in there. And
I didn't
violence.
Either.
And you know, Omar doesn't appreciate it. This next one has a special place in my heart.
Mm.
Yeah? Have you seen this movie?
I have seen this.
Yeah? What do you think about it?
I think we should show this in the classroom.
Oh yeah.
I do. What? I think it would be educational in so many different
what
ways.
What movie are we talking about?
Shining.
The Shining with Jack Nicholson, not the TV version, which is maybe truer to the book, but
that is the one with Red Rum, isn't it?
Yeah, Red Rum. That's right.
Red Rum.
Stanley Kubrick directed it, and it is scary as hell. Gosh, even now it's just creepy.
Creepy.
His son driving the big wheel.
Yeah.
In the Overlook Hotel?
Yeah. In the hallway?
Oh, gosh. The book is pretty scary, but with a terrible ending, but it's Stephen King. He does it in books well. And the last one is something that scared the bejesus out of me when I was a kid. Like, I saw it. My dad was like, hey, why don't you come up here and sit next to Dad and watch this movie? John Carpenter's The Thing. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It is terrifying. And now the movie actually came out in June, and it's about a post in Antarctica, so it's very snowy, but it's only snowy.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we can call it. I think I'm cheating here, calling it a winter movie.
I think you just went with the snow theme here.
With the snow theme, but there's tons of violence and obviously John Carpenter remade it from a 1950s one, and it was actually just remade again, The Thing, 1982, John Carpenter. Check it out. Those are good ones. Those are five movies that my kids will not see in my class.
One thing I would like to show, and I could probably get away with it, is A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
You'll shoot your eye out.
You'll shoot your eye out.
I love that movie.
Ho, ho, ho.
It's a great movie.
That is a great one. That is a good one. Yeah. Oh, geez. Yeah, the redhead kid in there, he stuck his...
Yeah.
Do you know what happened to him?
What?
He grew up to become an adult film star. How about that?
Like he was an actor in movies as an adult?
Yeah, yes.
Oh.
But there were movies that you don't kind of find in a movie theater. It's one of those adult movies.
Oh, in the red section.
They're not, you can't find them in most video stores, I imagine. Okay.
What is a video store,
I
Patrick?
Don't know. I don't even think you can find it on Netflix. How about that?
Netflix.
And it's definitely not on the iTunes store.
No.
Anyway, so we're moving on to our final topic of the night. We're gonna it's nice. We've been mowing through these
things.
Yeah,
we have.
I used to write a monthly segment, educational iPhone apps, and I would have five educational iPhone apps, and I'd quickly review them and link to them, and that is coming back with
Android,
because you have an Android phone.
I do. And what do you have now?
I have an iPhone because I left it someplace and went back and it was gone. Like gone, baby gone.
What number are we on?
Let's not go into what number iPhone this is. This is a sore topic. All right, I bought one in America and I jailbroke it and unlocked it and brought it here to Dubai and updated it and it locked. And I couldn't roll it back. And so I couldn't use it, so I took it back to America and sold it. And then I bought a new one from Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
And it was unlocked. And that was the one that I left, and it got stolen. And I was so angry with myself. And so now I have a new iPhone, and I am going to be very careful with it. So, yes, very careful.
Siri, please remind me not to lose this phone.
Anyway, so educational iPhone apps are coming, and educational Android apps are coming. Now, there's definitely going to be some overlap there, for the most part, they have their own.
Speaking of journeys and apps and educational apps, I've actually been thinking about dabbling with educational apps.
That's good.
You were telling me that a lot of educational apps out there are just not that good.
No, they stink. For the most part, they kind of stink, or they're too expensive really to be to be purchased. And I think they're just too narrow in their focus in a lot of cases. And that's the problem I have with them, which is why I'm looking for good ones.
Yeah, I think it's a problem of either A, you have people who don't know anything about the development process getting into the development like a teacher, non-techie teacher who hasn't done their research, jumps into it, puts something out there and thinks that they can sell it for, you know, $4.99 or $9.99 or whatever. Or it's companies that really know nothing about education, but they're like, oh, the educational sector is a great one to get into.
Yeah.
Let's throw up a bunch of apps, and you know what? They're probably going to sink.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I try to find good ones out there, and but, you know, more times than not, maybe a month I'll go through 30, 40 apps, and I try to find the five best of that, and sometimes they're...
And those are all free, right, that you're trying to get?
I try to do mostly free ones, because I think teachers pay enough money already as it is for their stuff, so...
Well, and I mean, if you have an app that's 99 cents, and it's going to make your life easier...
I think that's
all right. Like, we're not talking software here that's going to cost you $100. Even something that's $100... If it's going to make your life easier, even if it's just making one semester or one year easier, you know what? That's money I would spend.
Yeah.
Or if it's going to make, you know, the teaching process more streamlined or more efficient or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but if, you know, if you find a good app for 99 cents or even $1.99, I think that's a great buy.
That is.
So
yeah, but before we wrap things up here, there is something I forgot to add on here. The Moodle, the Edmodo challenge, challenger number four, Moodle is coming. But I've run into it's, and I'll put a disclaimer when I write the review. But Edmodo is massive. I mean, not Edmodo, but Moodle is massive. And Moodle is meant for you to download. It's free. Yep. You can download and install on your server. So, but my view, my perspective is, let's say you're a teacher and you're in a district and you have no access to the server. And your IT director is not interested in putting Moodle on just for one or two people.
Mm-hmm.
And then running it and managing it and stuff like that, which is fair enough. So what I'm doing is I'm looking for free hosting out there.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a number of places.
Yeah, there are a few.
And I'm looking for the best one, because one that I found is actually shut down until March. Oh. And another, because they're moving their server from the States to someplace overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm just looking for one that'll give me the most freedom.
You mean
and stuff.
Offshore?
Offshore, yes. Thank you. Sorry about that. Anyway, so I'm looking for a good one, and I'm trying to get as much of the real Moodle experience as I can, because I don't want to shortchange Moodle, because it's great.
Yeah. I think.
But I want to go come with it at that scope, you know, as a teacher.
I'm actually also going to put out a disclaimer for anybody listening to this. Moodle is a massive, massive project. And I think that...
project is the right word for it, too.
It's a project, and... The thing is, you could write volumes and volumes, literally volumes, on what Moodle can do. So for those of you who might have, you know, a lot of experience with Moodle, you know, take the post as is. Don't try to...
Yeah.
Because we know how massive it is, but there's only so much you can cover. So.
Yeah, and there's going to be holes in it. And, you know, if you're listening out there and when you read the post and you see something glaring that I missed, you know, definitely comment in, chime in, and give your perspective. You don't have to agree with me. That's fine. You know, it's a blog post. We want discussion.
Exactly.
So go on there, and if you think, you know, somebody just posted yesterday how I'm about Schoology. Mm-hmm. See, I got it right that time.
Yeah, you did.
And how they disagreed with my post. I haven't replied back, but I'm going to, Mr. Boise State, and I do disagree with you on a couple points, but we'll get you can read my post. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So I just thought I'd put that out there. This is why there's been such a big gap between Schoolbinder and the Moodle one. I've been trying to do it justice, kind of a thing.
Yeah, Moodle is so massive that it's a tough undertaking.
Yeah, maybe we can do a multiple part, you know, Moodle, you know, installing it and just a proper series of it.
But well, I've actually installed it in the past when I was playing around with it. Yeah. It installs, if you know a little bit about PHP and MySQL and stuff like that, you can install it fairly easily.
Yeah.
It's just after that, configuring it, and then even configuring it and setting it up, it's pretty straightforward, but then if you get into like building classes, adding users, integrating it with databases that you might existing databases, that's when you get into a whole nother level.
Yeah, and Yeah, but there is a ton of support out there. Yeah. Moodle has millions of users, and there is a lot of support out there because it is so customizable. Yeah. So many people have been tinkering with it. So that's
one. Well, I mean, the thing is, if you have a school like ours, and if there's a Moodle installation on there, like a full-fledged Moodle installation, you're going to need a single individual to manage that.
Yeah,
and they're not going to have much time to really do anything else.
Yeah,
they're going to be the Moodle administrator.
Yeah, we do have Moodle in our school, but it's very small.
Yeah,
it's very small.
We're just using a very
like maybe
small part of it.
I would say like 5 to 10, maybe not even 5 teachers that use it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's quite small. But anyway, so we're at the 30-minute mark.
Oh,
we are here. So we're going to sign off. We'll be back next week, but that'll be it. I think we're going to take a hiatus for the winter break.
Yeah,
and then come back in January.
Yeah.
Is that all right with you?
I think it's fine.
I'm not going to. Yeah. I guess we could do it on Skype if you really.
I don't think anyone's going to listen to it.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think so either.
They'll be drinking their eggnog.
Yeah.
Oh, 5 seconds.
Okay. So to wrap it up, I'm Patrick.
And I'm Omar.
Thanks for listening.